Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and boy, do we have a good one for you today. The company that we almost all of us use, Microsoft. So why would we talk about Microsoft on the Art of Construction? We're not going to just talk about Microsoft from a company that we all use on our computers. The main message that I want to convey to you today is that we're going to talk about the digital building life cycle, and it's here, and it's the future of construction. We're going to talk about how Microsoft is all about figuring that out and helping us with their Director of Transformational Services, Sala Eckert. Give credit where credit's due. Shout out to Audrey Grubesic. She's been a superstar leader of the Art of Construction Tribe, where she spoke at Audrey's Offsite Construction Modular Series, a great platform that she's put together. And how is this going to benefit you? We're going to explore Sala's model for the future of technology and construction, the digital building lifecycle, and find out what it will actually take to get you there. But boy, I don't know how the day-to-day stuff works. So today, I got in my guest co-host that a lot of the episodes that we've been doing that tie back to the Microsoft and their framework ties into what Matt McMullen, my superstar executive director of the Art of Construction Architectural Services, had to bring Matt in to have this conversation with Sala. Welcome into the conversation, Matt.
Hey, Devin, super excited to be here. And I just want to say to the Art of Construction Tribe, if this doesn't change your life and transform you, you're not actively listening to this podcast. So enjoy.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go on and have a fireside chat with Sala, and we're going to get to know there's an 11-step process of the digital building lifecycle. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes. But we're going to go out and have some fun and challenge her and ask some questions about you, Art of Construction Tribe. You've been giving us a lot of feedback. We put a lot of work into these questions. So let's get in, have a fireside chat, get to know Sala and her story, what led her to be the Director of Transformation Services for Microsoft. What's your favorite beverage?
That's the easy one. It's always coffee, especially now that we are still before 5 p.m. I'm an avid coffee drinker and I probably consume way too much, but that's my favorite beverage. Can be drink all the time.
There you go. Well, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Oh, this is an easy one as well. My favorite place to travel is in Tampere in Finland. And Tampere is the most beautiful place on this planet. I hope people check it out and book your tickets and go see what it's about.
Give us one story from this. And I'm going to book my tickets as soon as I can, I guess.
It is a city based in Finland. It's like the technology hub of Finland between two large lakes. The beautiful nature surrounded by this historic town and all the good stuff that it has to offer for citizens and visitors. And it's a lot of fun to visit. It's one of the most attractive cities in Finland.
Awesome. Well, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos Microsoft's going to help us talk about breaking down today that we passionately call the art of construction?
I'd say that my favorite pastime hobby is my two cats. I had three cats, but unfortunately, one of them died a month ago. But I'm a cat lady. I have a Bengal and an adopted Charouse cat. So they keep me busy after work hours.
Outstanding. Well, tell us your story, what led you to be the Director of Transformation Services for Microsoft. Sala, let's hear your story, and then we're going to go in with some awesome questions that Matt and I put together.
Thank you, Devin. So my career journey has been a little bit different from what the traditional journey is for people who choose to become architects. So I did my Master of Science degree in architecture in Tampere University of Technology. But it was already after the first year in school that I decided that I didn't want to become a traditional designer. So I started my track of R&D and innovation from the get-go and started building up my own career as the digital building lifecycle, basically. So overall, I've gained experience in being an academic researcher, applied innovation researcher, also an architectural designer, engineer, but also a general contractor, and now working for a real estate owner company. And that has given me a lot of perspective into what we might change and transform in the AECO industry and make things better for everyone.
All right, well, let's dive in. So when people think of Microsoft, they're usually not thinking of anything related to the world of construction. So can you describe what department within Microsoft you're part of and what your role is there?
Yes. So I basically have three types of roles at Microsoft, but my full-time job at Microsoft is within our internal real estate and security organization in the Center of Innovation. I'm a director of transformation services there and taking forward the framework of digital building lifecycle. But my second role is that I became our new lead of worldwide construction community this March. And that brings me closer to our external facing teams and the external customers from the construction industry. And my third role is that Microsoft is one of the founding members of the Digital Twin Consortium, and I'm a co-chair for Infrastructure Working Group, and that is keeping me busy in developing the Digital Twin framework.
So before we jump into the next question here, did you get to come up with all those cool titles, or did they just get printed on the business card for you?
they were given to me, and the newest title that I basically have is the Chief Disruption Officer, but that's more of a friendly joke about my work. It's so transformational.
I like it. It's definitely a shake up there.
An influencer and most of the time a disruptor. I like having her in here.
So when we talk about our industry, you know, we often use the phrase AEC, you know, architecture, engineering, and construction. But in all the stuff that we've seen about you, educational materials, LinkedIn, you use the phrase AECO. So can you talk about what the O stands for and why it's important that we add this O into our overall framework when we discuss the building industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So AEC is pretty much focused on the design and engineering strategy and how the built environment is created, either designed and engineered or built. But the O stands for owner operations, and that's more of the financial stream and the financial strategies and the investment strategies that the real estate owners and real estate investors have. And when thinking about the total cost of ownership in our built environment, it's about 95% of total cost that accumulates after the building has been commissioned and handed over to the tenants or the occupiers. So having the O as part of the AEC, it is too important to be left out. And when we think about overall the cost structure of the projects, every dollar that we invest into the architectural design or engineering, every mistake or every wrong decision that is made and is pushed into field coordination is 10 times more expensive when construction companies have to deal with it. And if things get even more delayed and go into that O phase, the operations phase, the cost is 100 times more than what it would have been if we had resolved it when things were just digital.
Yeah, and Sally, you and I were talking a little bit about that at the time that I spent as a facilities management director, that then there's an additional zero after that, that thousands of people who are your facility users will let you know if you failed them.
Exactly. Yeah, people are pretty react when it's too hot or too cold in the environment that they try to work in or live in.
No doubt. So the main idea you focus on in your work, correct me if I'm wrong, is the digital building lifecycle, right, Sala?
That is correct. And the digital building lifecycle, in its all simplicity, is about defining the building information model-based design and engineering processes that then transitions over to a digital construction. And then finally, when owner operators occupy the building and start to maintain it, we start to use digital twins as the digital framework for data management and information management. But overall, that kind of creates the entire spectrum of digital information management and the digital building lifecycle.
So you mentioned digital twins in there. Can you talk a little bit about what a digital twin is for some of our tribe who may not be familiar with that term? And then also follow up, just why is it integral to our industry to adopt the digital building lifecycle that you have put together?
Yes. So if I use the definition that the Digital Twin Consortium uses, is that digital twin is a synchronized virtual representation of real world entities and processes. So digital twins are motivated by outcomes, tailored by use cases, powered by integration, built on data, and implemented in IT systems. And what it means in simple terms is that digital twin is a combination or a federation of multitudes of different components and different digital twins all together. But what it gives to the end users is that you have a single platform where you can tailor and filter the data that you are consuming. And that way you're not developing one-offs or siloing yourself or the digital environment to your own world, but you're using the same platform as the rest of the project team. And that way you can choose what is the critical data that you need as a decision maker to go forward.
So it's almost like a petri dish in a sense, where then people can come in, plant and harvest different things that suit their needs.
That is correct. And overall, the digital twins, they democratize the data that is being created either in the AEC world or in the O world. And that way, whenever people have the need for accessing data, they can be very independent in accessing it and filtering it. But overall, in the backlog, the data can be filtered so that those stakeholders that don't need to have access to a very data secure data, they will never have the capability of accessing it. And that way it's very filtered and it's very tailored and it's very targeted to whatever is the most meaningful need of data in different phases of the digital building lifecycle.
Outstanding. So I wanted to tie in some different episodes with Microsoft, who does such a great job of pulling all these tools together. So you previously worked for Hoffman Construction, where we featured Philip Bergseeker from Hoffman on episode 149 of the Art of Construction podcast. And we discussed the Space Needle remodel. What were your biggest takeaways from your time at Hoffman and other big construction companies that you worked for in the US? And were they following the digital building lifecycle that you're talking about?
The digital building lifecycle didn't exist until about February 2019, and I published it in May or June 2019. But the biggest takeaways from working for one of the or two of the largest general contractor construction management companies in the United States is that there is a huge need for creating more common data environments where collaborative project delivery is possible and project teams can really work together as a virtual team and not only as a physical team. And that's one of the key components of the digital building lifecycle, that it's about creating a collaboration platform.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And especially on something like the Space Needle, where it's such iconic architecture, absolutely crucial. A big aspect of what you're describing with, virtual and digital twins of buildings are the sensors that feed data from the building back to a central model. First, can you talk a little bit about what a sensor is for some of our audience who may not know? And are these particular sensors only for operating the building after it's occupied? Or are there other uses for the sensors on the job site as the building is being built?
Good question. So sensor is just a piece of hardware that is measuring the environment that it is in. And a lot of the audience has already probably heard the term Internet of Things. That is the mesh of different sensors collecting and feeding data into a cloud environment. But what is also important and hasn't been addressed that much in the industry is the Internet of Actions. IOA, and that is measuring more the end users and the internet of actions as a butterfly effect of something triggering people to do something. And that's something that I think is up and coming for construction companies and active job sites, that how do we actually understand that what actions are people taking in the job site, and how are those actions then tied into the cost and schedule management, into the quality management and safety management, and overall communications of different stakeholders that are working on the same project.
So I have to ask, as I'm sure you're involved a little bit with prefab or modular or offsite construction, that Audrey, who give credit back, her and I did a 15 episodes that we called System Build Lifestyle, and her and I went to school together and had all these awesome people that that have become leaders of the tribe, so that they all come into play into the digital building lifecycle. So how do you align offsite manufacturing processes with onsite building processes? I'm fascinated your take on that.
That's a very good question again. It all begins with the planning phase, when the real estate owner or the real estate investor decides that how do they actually want their project to be implemented. And that's a good point to bring in already the construction management companies and general contractors to have this discussion with the architects and engineers, because the choice of how we want to assemble the building needs to be already decided at the planning phase. And that way it becomes a design strategy, and the designers really know how to collaborate more closely with the prefabricators, pre-manufacturers and pre-assembly companies, and that way drive the overall project towards creating not only the physical artifact, but also the digital replica of it, and that way create the foundation for digital twins. But overall, choosing prefabrication and modular or volumetric construction, it can be an afterthought. It needs to be one of the first decisions that are made by the real estate owner investor.
So we're going to switch, you brought this up, kind of the real estate value proposition. And we're starting to talk about the real estate investor, the real estate owner, right? So we all know that there's never enough money on projects. So if you could talk a bit about that, because really that's where a lot of the decision is coming from, is the real estate value proposition.
Yes, absolutely. So overall, when thinking about that framework, I oftentimes talk about the total cost of ownership and how it is derived from the capital expense and then operational expense. And when we think about how the building actually performs and what we are then measuring with the IoT and IOA networks, the total cost of ownership depends on the total performance of the built environment. So if we make choices of investing capital expense into a specific product or a system, we need to be able to verify that what is the anticipated cost of operations, and that way drive the decisions based on the data or based on the evidence that we can collect from the built environment.
I love that. It's like it can't be an afterthought, right? And as we do our art of construction architectural services, I'm just like so jazzed listening to her converse about this, because that's the true thing that we can't do ourselves, is we have to have the IoT, IOA, and all these things come to help us build better buildings, right?
Exactly. And when thinking about the product manufacturing industry and how they could tie into the total performance of the environment, they know exactly how they developed and engineered their products to perform. And if we can provide them accurate, reliable feedback of how their product is actually performing, that way they can start figuring out how they might actually improve their product or service. And that way, overall, everyone benefits.
And the beauty of that, what you just said, all the people who are real estate investors and real estate developers in the AOC tribe said, yes, you just referred to CapEx and OpEx. So this is a woman who knows exactly what she's talking about and how it relates. So let's take a little bit deeper dive now. So you've got building project manufacturers. You just talked about them a little bit. Some of them are incredibly, and I won't name any names, as an architect, because you're out there looking for parametric objects, right, that you can drop into your models. But what do you say to those manufacturers that are slow to adopt BIM versions of their products? And I bring up, you know, AOC show 155, the digital revolution of building information modeling, with Ben Glunz of BIMsmith, who's crafted relationships with manufacturers and provides great parametric BIM objects that are smart objects that you can drop in, and it's free to the architect and user. What do you have to say to folks who haven't seen the light of that model?
I'd say that it's a choice to not release the digital twins of your products, but then it becomes, I was originally thinking about using the analogy of riding a bike versus riding a Ferrari, but actually I'm going to switch into a Ford that was the car manufacturer, and he was asked that why did he develop a car? And he said that if he had listened to his customers, the customers would have been asking for faster horses, but the horses were already as fast as they can be. So when thinking about that analogy into building product manufacturers that are slow in adapting to BIM, is that they are kind of missing out on the opportunity of digital twins and how they could become part of the overall digital building lifecycle and learn from the data that is available for them once they release the data that they have created about their products. And that way, when real estate owners are deciding and value engineering different suppliers, they want to know exactly that how is a specific product actually impacting the total performance of their environments. And if they don't have that data available and they can simulate and analyze the building performance in its digital format, they will likely go with the manufacturer who is providing that data.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as a practicing architect is, you know, I make my purchasing and specifying decisions around people who make my job easier and provide mm-hmm. the information that my clients need. So in the pre talk before we jumped on the podcast here, I said I was going to ask you a surprise question. So here's the surprise question. One of the things that we struggled with when I was a facilities manager at UCAR, NCAR, National Center for Atmospheric Research, was the scientists were collecting incredible amounts of data, right? And so you already talked about the Internet of Things and the Internet of Actions. And NSF, the National Science Foundation, was trying to struggle with, we've got all this data coming in. How do we assimilate this data? How do we parse it, capture it in such a way that it becomes meaningful to the user? So all the stuff that you're talking about, these smart building models that exist in cyberspace alongside the real in physical model, how do you see that capture of the data, the big data, so that it becomes meaningful?
Interesting question. Overall, that kind of ties into how the information or the data can be processed into information that then can be clustered into intelligence that then becomes knowledge when someone knows how to apply the intelligence into a use case. And that way, when thinking about how rapidly we need to be making decisions in construction projects and how complicated the construction projects are coming over time, we need to be relying more and more on computers helping us make those decisions. And using the big data and harnessing machine learning and artificial intelligence with the power of cloud platforms or cloud as an infrastructure, cloud as a service, it's only going to be helping us people as decision makers to arrive at the right decision and be confident in the decision making because we already have the right type of information available for us.
So I have another question I got to ask is that, so a big obstacle in adopting all these new connected processes and systems in construction, it's that not everyone wants to make it open sourced. So the whole open source word of, you know, many people that are out there silently working on their own versions, their intellectual property, and wanting everybody to sign NDAs and generally keeping their cards close to the chest as they become the it thing. There's a lot of, you know, we get so many message board requests about I'm the next it thing that everyone else will be that and adopt it. How do you think we move past this problem?
There are two different streams that I think about this problem. And one is an example of having a lot of money, but just have it sit on your bank account uninvested. Looking at the bank account number, you get that 7 seconds of enjoyment seeing that you have a lot of money. But if it's uninvested, you're not really leveraging what you have to make more money. The second point of view that I would think about is more tangible for the construction industry itself. There are already examples in our industry that companies had developed very, very advanced solutions already 10, 20 years ago, but they were never absorbed by the market. And that's because if nobody knows what you're doing, you end up too far ahead, and then you have to roll back into where you started and where was the beginning. So overall, if we were able to take more of the open innovation approach and really kind of expanding what our resources are and what our framework of development are to support others, we could arrive at the destination or at the milestones much faster as an industry than what we can if we only focus on developing our internal processes and tools.
And I think that's an interesting thing that you talk about, where there are a lot of companies, and we actually interviewed HIPAR with Ian Keogh and Anthony Hauck, and Ian's kind of the father of Dynamo, and they were with AutoCAD at the time. And so they struggle with the decision between a proprietary model and an open source model. And I think they're still in that battle of which one will allow them to touch the most number of people and do the best good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And overall, when thinking about something that if you can provide a platform for others to build their solutions on or help you improve your product or service, the better off you are, because others are doing a lot of the work that you would have to deliver anyway. So it's just more about accelerating the transformation that the industry needs overall.
Yeah, I love that. As on their show 162, their comment, which was our title of "No Project Should Start from a Blank Sheet." And I think that's really what we're trying to figure out here, right? There's so much infrastructure that Microsoft is a great company to help us with to keep building and keep learning and have all these things compound on that. So the next thing I want to tie into is, this is a question I've been asking for a long time, and we're going to do a little bit differently this way. I'm going to call this the special edition of saying, the question I always ask is, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction? But Saul, if you're cool with it, I want to do this a little bit different. You cool with that?
Oh yeah, of course. Throw me the curveball.
All right, the curveball. So I was super intrigued by one of your LinkedIn articles where you said, I'm just going to read this here, of working from a common data environment with BIM lets teams operate from a single federated model. Design doesn't get out ahead of what's practical for construction or feasible for a real estate owner. All parties are informed about construction costs and operational cost implications earlier for educated decision-making. Fewer final decisions are pushed to the construction phase when the cost to change them is high, and no final decision is slipped into an afterthought when the cost of changing them is the highest. Long-term maintenance is figured in as a real estate cost from the start, permitting early adjustments to mitigate these expenses. So this sounds amazing, but is it utopia? How do we actually get everyone in the building industry to work from a common data environment, especially your normal everyday contractors, like we sometimes talk about crusty contractor, who are entirely overwhelmed by all of this? So what is the path forward for the everyday person in our industry when I raise my hand and say, what's your take on this whole thing of moving this collaborative forward?
Yeah, overall, I think that the construction industry has kind of over-engineered its approach to technology. And we have to take a little bit of step back and look at things from how might we actually simplify it. And when thinking about the common data environment, an analogy that I'm going to use here is a smartphone, that when we go and purchase a smartphone, it's always the same platform when we first start to use it. But within the first 5 minutes, your smartphone looks completely different as a user interface than mine does, because you already customized it. But with the same platform, we are able to communicate between each other, but at the same time, we are able to create the end user experiences that we need. And that's the same thing with the common data environments for construction projects and the AECO teams, that regardless of what your point of view for the same project is, you can filter and create these targeted information blasts, basically, or information clusters that you can then use for making the decisions at your milestones. But at the same time, you have the capability of sharing data or accessing the same data as the rest of the team. And that way, the common data environment democratizes the data that is being created or exchanged or consumed about the same project. But it doesn't matter what point of view you have compared to me, as long as we are both working off from the same sets of data. So the point here is that we should, as an industry, stop reproducing the same data over and over again, but start taking the approach of one input, multiple outputs, and recycling what is already verified as reliable data.
So Sala, we're going to jump to the next question here, and I think it's the one that, you know, probably is on everybody's mind. You talked a little bit about it in the beginning, and then you just mentioned it just now about platform. But, you know, imagine all the Arctic Construction Tribe is saying, you know, I mean, what's in it for Microsoft? Why would they hire you, give you all these cool titles, and allow you to jump out and figure this thing when people don't necessarily associate our architecture, engineering, and construction with Microsoft?
Thank you. So when thinking about Microsoft, our mission is about empowering everyone on this planet to achieve more. And we're a platform developer company, not so much the solution provider. So our point of view is that we provide a platform that others can then create the solutions on top of, but we are basically the link or the glue between the different stakeholders and enabling that very data secure exchange of information and empowering the business processes that people are driving forward. And so overall, when construction companies and the AECO industry are evaluating cloud service providers and cloud platforms, et cetera, it's good to remind ourselves that we are all about creating the successful business and supporting the business growth of our clients and customers and partners.
Absolute gold. Love it. So in closing, we ask this same question to everybody that we get to come and have leaders of the tribe, like Sala from Microsoft. What is that one thing you want to leave for contractors and affiliates like Microsoft employees and all the people that hopefully this podcast runs through the Microsoft veins to go out and crush it and grow their business?
I'd say that looking into the digital building lifecycle from individual companies' point of view and really understanding that how does the accumulation of reliable data support their profitable growth or their improvement of better products or services, and how the integration of different stakeholders and partners really help them succeed in what they are doing. Because it's all about sharing data, it's about sharing resources and supporting each other. And that way it started to turn the dial upwards where it's been kind of declining ever since the 1960s, to be honest. So looking into the framework and discovering what kind of business development there is in the digital building lifecycle.
Awesome stuff. Sala, thank you so much for coming and telling us your story. Matt, we could go all day on this, just the tip of the iceberg, and we'll put in the show notes links to so much great work you're doing, and we can't wait to talk to you some more about those 11 steps of that wheel and all the cool stuff you guys have going on.
Sala, thanks for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Devin, and thank you, Matt.
So I've asked many people, what is the biggest change in the art of construction that just changed the game? And multiple people, when I ask them that question, they say the cell phone. The cell phone connected the field to the office. So the smartphone changed the game. But then it did what? It created this platform for all this stuff to happen. And now I have 100 apps on my phone that I don't know which one I'm supposed to open to do what. I am so honored to be a leader and have Microsoft as part of the Art of Construction, that I am a geek about Microsoft. I love their platform. I love all the stuff they're doing. But bringing that framework into sharing resources as a platform developer, that starts it all over again. And Matt, what's your take? Is you're the one leading Art of Construction Architectural Services, when we have someone come in and helping us bridge the gap about how do we break through the ceiling to say, the next thing is the digital twins became a real thing. What's your take, Matt?
Well, just thanks for inviting me to join you as co-host on this podcast. And super excited when I saw that Sala was going to be on, you know, did a little background on her, understood who she was. And it really, like, what it took me back to, Devin, was when we had Dr. Ray Levitt with Blackhorn Ventures, and he started to talk about digitized construction. And so now we're on with Sala, and Sala's talking about digitization and data. And so it tells me that people are taking the time with the proper training, right? So as an architect, you're involved in the problem solving process, but people are taking the time to actually ask the right questions in the problem solving process to come up with the right solutions.
As we say, the riches are in the niches, but boy, you better have a platform to get you there. And man, we're honored to be affiliated with Microsoft, because I'd like to say we call this the Art of Construction. And boy, those ofs are important, between the art, where Matt's doing all these amazing architectural services, and honored to have him come in and talk about that, and the doers out there of construction. But that platform in the middle, as we talk about the gooey middle, and Ian and our friends that have been coming and telling us, saying no project should start from a clean slate, but no platform should start empty. And we're honored to have Microsoft come in and be a part of the Art of Construction. Matt, thanks for coming in and joining me on the ride.
Thank you.
Cheers, tribe. Crush it out there.